You know what the problem is in the world today, don't you? The unholy spirit of Antichrist working real hard. If you're a Christian, you need to be able to see the difference. You need to be able to see when the unholy spirit of the Antichrist is at work and when the Holy Spirit's at work. And Arthur was talking about our country being divided. It has been for a long time. And the reason is we've got those in our country who are politicians, who are really socialist, Antichrist in their thinking, and they're trying to bring about a one-world socialistic government. And you know what? It won't happen. It will not happen. But that's what their goal is. It's called the United Nations, and we're going to get into that later. Let's bow our heads and lift our requests up to the Lord this morning before we go any further, and we'll lift these up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, we ask that you be with our request this morning. Continue to be with Goldie, Linda's brother who has a knee problem, also with Adam. Be with Angel, who has been or is in the process of being operated on for a gallbladder. Be with the doctors and the nurses in the hospital, that they do a good job. And also Amanda's baby, who's going to have to go for, has some problems, and we ask, Lord, that you just take care of that. Be with a request for a boy named Michael who has a drug problem, and we don't know what your goal is, but we ask, Lord, for your will to be done with him. And be with the praise, Mary's praise, and this, give her strength to go on. And also be with Kevin, who is going through quite a bit in his life right now, but he seems to have a lot of faith in you, and we just ask, Lord, that you be with him. Be with Ron and the job, and just be with that request there. And also with the request for Edith, and the praise for Daniel, who's with us this morning. And continue to be with all of our personal requests for Sue Fondez, Mary and Valley, Dolly. Be with Dolly's, all the doctors and everything, and the tests that she's taking. Just take care of that, too, also. Be with Marlene and her personal requests, and the family that's traveling, and Timmy, Sue, and Betty, and Donna. Be also with the request for Brenda, and also Goy, who has some tests coming up for her problem. We just ask, Lord, that you take care of that. And the request for the hurricane victims and all the many things that are going on down there in that part of the country, the problems that do exist and the problems that don't exist that are made to be exist. What a terrible thing it is going on. Be with the United States of America, protector. Also the church, all of your church, all of those that are in the world today that are saved by grace through faith. Continue to be with them and protect them. We need it. Be with the request for Chrissy and Tanya and Amanda, and also for Mike and Fred and Kenny and Jay and the job, and the Pledge of Allegiance, too. Be with that. They're trying to take it out of our country, and when they do, that'll be it, probably. Continue to keep it in. Be with the nation of Israel, and also with Danny, who is, I don't know where he is today, right now, but continue to be with him. And let him know that we care about him and think about him. We ask, Lord, that you be with the message this morning, that we'll learn a little bit about your word and the future and what it holds. And we'll just thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, take your Bibles this morning. Turn, if you will. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say or bring up before I start this morning? Huh?
In Daniel chapter 1.
Uh-huh. Chapter 1, verse
3.
A eunuch is kind of hard to say. It's a young male that doesn't have sex.
And he devotes his life to God. Right?
Yeah. There are three kinds of eunuchs. Those that are self-made, those that are made by other men, and those that are born that way. Yeah, there's basically three kinds of eunuchs. Yeah. And a eunuch, the reason they want a eunuch to be in the service is because, quite frankly, the king doesn't have to worry about his wife and all of his mistresses. Yeah, that's the bottom line. All right? So, does that explain that? Okay. Very good. Any more questions like those? We don't mind those questions. None? Well, you guys must know everything then. Okay, Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 1 through 6, we have a picture of the history of Daniel. He was taken into captivity in Babylon, And in chapter 6, verse 28, Daniel prospered under the reign of Darius in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And so we have a historical account of Daniel while he was in captivity, which lasted for 70 years, roughly. At this particular time, Daniel was probably in his mid-80s at least, probably 86, 85, somewhere like that. The captivity lasted for 70 years. Now Daniel's under the reign of Darius and Cyrus, and so 70 years have passed, according to the prophecy in Jeremiah. And then Daniel goes back, and in chapter 7 through the rest of the book of Daniel, he recounts some of his visions that he had. And the vision in chapter 7, last week we took a look at, or week before, I remember when it was, the four great beasts that come up from the sea, diverse from one another. And then we saw the words, the great sea, which represents, the sea represents humanity in the Bible, the sea of humanity. And the great sea represents not only the sea of humanity, but the sea of humanity around the area of the Mediterranean Sea. Always represents the Mediterranean Sea when the word great sea is mentioned in the Bible. There's only three seas mentioned in the Bible. One is the Red Sea, the other one is the Sea of Galilee, and then there's the Mediterranean Sea that are actually mentioned by name. And then we see the Dead Sea, yes. The Sea of Galilee is not the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is the sea at the end of the Euphrates River, where the Euphrates River dumps into. That's called the Dead Sea. You know, what's funny about the Dead Sea, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but it's below sea level. And think about it, if you will. It's below sea level. And the Euphrates River dumps into it every day millions and millions of gallons of water. But it doesn't fill up. Isn't that amazing? And the Euphrates River dumps millions and millions of gallons of good minerals and good topsoil into the Dead Sea every day, but it's still dead. That's also amazing. And somebody, I was reading somewhere, somebody said, well, all that water evaporates. Come, give me a break. That much water will not evaporate in one day. And the funny thing is, the Dead Sea is never filled up. As a matter of fact, I think at this time, it's getting lower and lower and lower. And the only reason that can happen is because, guess what? God is in charge. That's the only reason. So if you ever think about that, and there's so many minerals in the Dead Sea, and they've tapped into a lot of those. One of them is potash, I believe, among the many, many minerals. And you know what's amazing? All that fresh water that pours into the Dead Sea and all this minerals that remain, it's not really usable for anything except to refine and take out whatever's in it. You know another thing that's amazing? I don't know if you ever thought about this or not. The seas, all the seas that are filled with salt water, and all the water that dumps into these seas is fresh water. Yet the seas are constantly salt water. That's amazing, isn't it? You know what that tells me? Once again, God is in charge. So anyway, enough of that. And so we see the four winds, and the four winds represent the power and might of God. The four winds, whenever something takes place, the four winds of heaven makes men move. This takes place, that takes place, because God is in charge, constantly manipulating, although He does allow certain things to take place on their own, or He allows them, as long as they suit Him. God is in charge, folks. You know, we live in a world of, we have some ministries out there that are always bringing up some theory or some kind of a conspiracy. And I've read all of them, but I'll tell you what, no matter what takes place in the world, Jesus Christ is still the boss. He's in charge. You might think your boss at work's in charge. Well, he's not. He just thinks he is. I had a couple of bosses like that. They thought they ran the world. But I was so obstinate, when they come to me, I don't know, we had nothing but the battles constantly, because I don't like to be told what to do. And so my wife learned that a long time ago. Her little dog tries to tell me what to do, and I won't let him get away with it. But anyway, that's human nature. What's that? I know it. Yeah, I know. Verse 4. So we got through all of that. Now let's go to verse 4. We see Daniel. He has the vision of four world empires. And I've given you some things up on the board. Next week I'll bring in some notes concerning all this. You can put them with your notes on Daniel. Remember this. There are two spirits at work in the world today. One is the Holy Spirit of God that Jesus Christ sent down from heaven when he left this earth on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago, roughly. And the other one is the unholy spirit of Antichrist. The only thing that holds back the Antichrist today is the Holy Spirit of God. We could get into that study, but we're not going to take time to do that. The Holy Spirit is the restrainer holding things back. I'll tell you what, folks. If you look at the world today, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we would have a mess. And just like Art was talking about all the things that are going down to in the area of the hurricane there. I mean, well, I don't want to get on that political garbage, but I'll tell you, it drives me nuts. If you want to see the unholy spirit at work, look at the world today. Socialism, totalitarianism, dictatorship. That is the unholy spirit at work. Hitler was a manifestation of the unholy spirit of the Antichrist. Anytime you see a politician promote socialism, mark this down, he's an Antichrist. Do you know what socialism is? A welfare state run by the government. That's socialism. Whenever you hear a politician want to raise the taxes, mark this down, he's a socialist. I don't care how much you like him, he's a socialist and he has the Antichrist spirit. Let's raise taxes. That doesn't solve problems. All that does is put more money into the crooked politician's pocket. All the pork barrel and all the stuff that they put into every bill that Congress makes, every bill, I don't care what it means, they'll tell you, they'll put a little label on it to influence your thinking. But in behind that label are hundreds and hundreds of pork that goes into some politician's pocket. You know, there's so many things going on. And then you got the Democrats and the Republicans. You know this country's history? It's over with. You know how I know that? I mean, you're comfortable. You're going to leave here today and you're going to go home, probably enjoy yourself. I don't know what you're going to do. You're comfortable. But this country is history. Jesus said, a nation divided cannot stand. Is this country divided or what? Yes, it is. I don't know how long it's going to take. I personally think when the bottom line comes and this country finally splits, I think that's when the church is going to be taken home and the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. I want you to notice some other things, if you will. We're living in the church age. Began on the day of the, just after the cross. We had the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and then the Roman Empire that ruled the then known world. But the Roman Empire, right about 70 A.D., beginning between 70 and 200 A.D., began to be suppressed. Didn't have all the power and all the clout behind it that it did have. And it, right now, it still exists, but it's suppressed. It doesn't rule the world. And what it is an ideology. It's a Babylonianism ideology of a one-world government, a one-world religious system combined against the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll watch the news today, you'll see it in almost every word, every action, everything that takes place. The world cries for peace. It'll never happen. The world cries for unity. If we become a unit, we call it the United Nations, I think. If we become a unit, then we'll call ourselves the United Nations. There won't be any more problems in the world. Well, you know how long the United Nations has existed? Quite a while. Do you know how many problems there are in the world? Too many to count. Too many to count. It'll never happen. There will never be a one world gelled together until the Antichrist comes along, and it'll be short-lived. And then the very next thing that'll happen will be the very next thing on God's timetable. There's no prophecy for today, by the way. You know, I've seen preachers look at this hurricane and say, you see, God's telling us something. No, he isn't. He's telling us there's a hurricane. It's that simple. That's what he's telling us. There's a hurricane. The very next thing God has in store is the rapture of the church. The rapture is not a biblical term. And so whenever someone tells you that the rapture is not a biblical term, agree with them, because it isn't. What the rapture means, it's a word that describes the next event when God gathers his church. If that should happen right now today, everybody on this earth that has trusted Christ as their Savior will be taken in the rapture. They'll disappear. The world will not know what happened to them. and everybody else will be left behind to face the Antichrist face to face. That's what the rapture is all about. I look forward to the rapture. Be all right with me if it took place instantly. There's going to be an awful lot of things take place when the rapture takes place. It's in the Bible. It will happen. God said it will. It's going to be an awesome thing. The Antichrist will come along and explain the rapture away. I don't know how he's going to do it. My theory is that he's going to say that, you see all those people from outer space that we had those Bible-thumping idiots, they're gone now, and we can have our own religion, anything, any way we want it. He'll promise the world peace. And once again, the Roman Empire, the Roman typology, ideology, will be revived for 7 years under a person called the Antichrist. The gold, which is the lion, we're going to read that shortly. The silver, which was the Medo-Persian Empire, which represents the bear. The brass, which represents the leopard. Those are all gone. And then along came the Roman Empire, and we're going to take a brief look at that. It'll be gone, and it is gone today. It's kind of under the surface, waiting to arise like a sleeping giant. When you pull back the blankets, not going to be really asleep at all, playing possum under there, and then the Roman-type ideology of all these past governments will be revived and flare up, and it's going to be 7 years of terrible, terrible devastation on this earth. Okay, back to Daniel, if you will. Now that I've tried to explain all that, Daniel remembers a vision. Remember now, this vision is sort of like the one that Nebuchadnezzar saw. Remember Nebuchadnezzar's vision, and we gave you a picture on that. Some of you have that in your notes. And he saw a great beast, and the head was made of gold, which is Babylon. Now look at Daniel's vision here. Daniel chapter 7, verse 4. Daniel saw these beasts rise up out of the sea of humanity. The beasts represent kingdoms and nations. The first beast was like a lion and had eagle's wings, and I beheld till its wings were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. What does all that mean? The lion is the same as Babylon, the head of gold. It had eagle's wings. It was like a lion. What is the lion? The king of the beast, right? He really is, too. There aren't very many beasts that escape the lion. But he had eagle's wings. What does that mean? You ever see an eagle soar? Goes wherever he wants to, just glides. And that's the way Babylon was. It ruled the earth. Went this way, went that way, went wherever it wanted to. And then along came the other beast and plucked his wings. Verse 5, and behold another beast, a second like a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between its teeth, and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. This represented the silver, the Medo-Persian Empire. Why was it like a bear? It raised up on one side. What does that mean? Persia, the king of Persia, had more power and more authority than Darius, the Mede. So he rose up on one side. He had all the power. And it said, devour much flesh. Whenever a bear eats flesh, means it wants to get fat. And usually they do that just before they hibernate. When a bear eats flesh, he's trying to gain fat. And that's what the Medo-Persian Empire did. It kept eating up this little nation and that little nation. And the Cyrus the Persian had more power than Darius the Mede, and he was the boss, and he was the great one. But they finally fell under Alexander the Great. Verse 6, after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, represents the swiftness of the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great, conquered the world. I mean to tell you, he was, by the age of 33, he conquered the then known world. What a story that is. I've read it many, many times in various books. And at the age of 33, he died. He took a swim in a pond somewhere and caught some kind of a disease and died. And that explains the last part of the verse. Let's read on, if you will. Which had upon its back four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given unto it. You know what happened when Alexander the Great died? He had four generals that took over his command, his post, if you will. They took over his authority and divided the kingdom into four sections. And then they ruled until finally Rome took over slowly. And just a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, finally the great Roman Empire took over the then known world, and Greece was subdued, and also the four leaders under that survived Alexander the Great. And so that represents the leopard. And then in verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, which represents Rome, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth that devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with its feet. And it was diverse from all the beasts and that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this, if you will. Let's read the next verse, and then we'll go back. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before which there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in his horn were eyes like the eyes of man and a mouth speaking great blasphemies. Now I want you to look up here once for just a minute. That represents the Roman Empire. It has subdued. It has been subdued. It still exists. The ideology of a one world government, the United Nations, think about it, the European Union, think about it, will once again become manifest under the Antichrist. And the world, you know, right now the world would just love to be at peace, wouldn't they? Oh, they talk about peace, and they say, well, the one world government, if we just had a one world government, we can have peace. Well, it'll never happen. But I want you to turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter 17. Before you do that, turn over here to Revelation 13, if you will. We need to explain something here, and then we'll get back to it, okay? Revelation 13, we'll give you some notes on this probably next week, but if you like, you can write these down in your Bible. Revelation chapter 13, the Apostle John, was as he was receiving the book of Revelation, God was giving it to him, divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. And this is what he saw in Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. I stood upon the sand of the sea. What does the sea represent? Humanity, right? Okay. And saw a beast rise up out of the sea of humanity, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. What does that say? 7 heads and 10 horns. Who do the horns represent? Well, turn back to Daniel, if you will, here, where we were. And we're going to try to see the correlation here between the two. Look in Daniel chapter 7, the very last part of chapter 7. And stamped the residue with its feet, that's Rome, stamped the world, and it was diverse from all the beasts. What was diverse about it? Because it has been suppressed, but it's going to be revived. Now, Daniel saw that, but he didn't really understand it. And he said, and saw the feet, it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. What did the horns represent? Kingdoms. Kings and kingdoms in the Bible almost always represent horns. Now back to Revelation, if you will, chapter 13. Having 7 heads and 10 horns, we'll probably, if we have time, I'll explain what the 7 heads mean. Maybe next week, I don't know. We'll get to that though. Having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, kings, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. All these kings are blasphemous, by the way. Why? The unholy spirit of the Antichrist. These 10 kings that will arise during the 7-year tribulation, if you're a saved, born-again Christian, you will not be faced with them. If you're not a saved, born-again Christian, you will be. So hold on to yourself, because it will happen. If it happens today and you've never trusted Christ, watch it. Verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Remember what we saw in Daniel? The leopard represents who? Represents Greece. Right? Okay. And his feet were like the feet of a bear. Remember the bear? Who does that represent? Medo-Persia. And then you have the mouth like a lion. Who does that represent? Babylon. The only thing is, we see it backwards, do we not? Why not? Isn't it only natural? Think about it, if you will. Daniel, back then, long before Christ, was looking into the future. John was looking into the past. So it only makes sense, does it not? One was looking one way, one was looking at the other, at the very same thing. Now then, let me find my place here. So we have the beast, we have the leopard, the bear, and the lion. And I want you to notice the last part of this verse 2, and the dragon. Who is the dragon? Satan. Absolutely. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat or his throne and great authority. You know who's in charge of the unholy spirit of the Antichrist? Satan, the dragon. He's also called the serpent, is he not? You know, in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent tempted Eve. Well, it's not a snake. If you're dumb enough to believe that was a snake, you really have to be naive. It was Satan. The word serpent means to whisper. You know, can't you just picture Satan? Hey, Eve. By the way, Satan's up behind me quite a bit. Say, hey, Dan, you know what you can do? I have an idea. And oftentimes I'll say, yeah, what is it? You know, like a dummy. You know what you should do? You know you're right. Well, he's really a deceiver, you know. You got to be careful. And oftentimes he's saying, you know, Preacher Dan, you know, you got this problem, don't you? And you don't get treated right by the church, do you? Yeah, you ought to feel sorry for yourself, and you ought to do this, and you ought to do that. Satan, the old serpent, always back there whispering, you know what you can do? And you know how many of us say, you know, I think you're right. Yeah, I should get mad at my wife. Yeah. She didn't treat me right the other day. I should yell and scream at her. I should do this. Yeah. I should act like an idiot. And I do that a lot, too. Revelation chapter 17. Back where we are, or 13 rather. And I saw one of his heads, verse 4, as though it were wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, Satan, who gave power unto the beast. So this beast is coming. Now over to chapter 17, if you will, and we're going to try to cover this briefly. Verse 7. The Apostle John was wondering after the woman who is called Babylon. We're not going to get into that. We don't have time for that. And in verse 7, the angel said unto John, the Apostle John, and the angel said unto me, why didst thou wonder, marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. Same 10 horns mentioned to Nebuchadnezzar. Remember the 10 toes of the 10 toes on the beast of Nebuchadnezzar represents these 10 horns, these 10 kings who will give their power unto the Antichrist, who is Satan indwelling man during 7 years. These 10 kings. The beast that carries her is none other than Satan. Who is he carrying? Babylon. What is Babylon? False religion. You mix Babylon, false religion, with government, and you get the beast and Babylon and the woman that rides the beast. You know, it's a terrible thing. Verse 8, and the beast that thou sawest was and is not. We're going to get on all that next week. We're not going to take time to do that. We're going to get on to the 7 kings. You're going to find out who they are. But look at verse 11. Let's skip on down here, if you will. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and us of the 7, and goeth into perdition. And we're going to explain all that to you next week. But I want you to go to verse 12, too, here. And the 10 horns which thou sawest. Now pay attention, because the Bible always explains itself. There's no reason to wonder. There's no reason to wonder what God means. He explains himself every time. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are what? 10 kings. And then he explains who have received no kingdom as yet. You know something? Those 10 kings as yet have not received a kingdom. Personally, I believe when the Antichrist comes along, the United States of America will no longer have the power and authority that she does today. I think the Antichrist will destroy the power of the United States of America. I personally believe that these 10 kings, whoever they are, it might be the king of the United States, but they're going to give their power and authority to this Antichrist who comes along. I don't know who these 10 kings are, but I'll tell you what, neither is anybody else. Jack Van Impe will try to tell you he knows who they are. He's a liar and a cheat and a deceiver. He does not. There isn't any preacher in the world today that knows who these ten kings are because they haven't been made manifest. They are not the European Union, as Jack Van Impe would like to have you think. He's a liar, a cheat, and a deceiver. And you need to know that, because they have no kingdom as yet. They will not have a kingdom until the Antichrist is revealed. That's what the Bible says. But receive power as kings. When do they receive their power? 1 hour with the beast. They haven't got it yet. Kofi Annan thinks he does, but he's just another idiot. You know what? All these people have to meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face someday. When I look at all these things going on down in New Orleans and all these idiots trying to shift blame, you got the mayor down there who's a complete jerk. And you know, it's been, I don't like to get political, but I'm going to do it briefly. They've had a Democratic Party, the Democrats have run New Orleans, the city, and the state, Louisiana, for years. Years and years. Poverty is terrible. Drugs are terrible. Everything that goes on, and yet, all the problems that they're having today are George Bush's fault. Does that make sense? Now, I'm not defending George Bush. I'm not defending the Republicans, but let me, you know, we have the Unholy Spirit, and if you can't see where the Unholy Spirit's working today, you've got a problem. And they don't have any jobs. I mean, the people are poor. The levee should have been repaired 40 years ago. Somebody spent that money. And you know what bothers me a little bit about all this? The police department in New Orleans had 3 boats, and 2 of them didn't even work. Excuse me, what are you people doing? Oh, I know. I'll bet the mayor had his own personal boat, though, don't you? I'll bet he had a nice big one. I'll bet it was a kid. Yeah, he packed up and moved out. But you know what? As a Christian, you don't dwell on this stuff. I like to think about it because I like to know what's going on in the world. I like to know what my enemy's doing. You know who my enemy is? Satan. Satan and all of the people that follow him, all of his followers, the Antichrist, the Unholy Spirit. And when I watch our government people, on, you know what I get a kick out of the news? When they, you know how the news people thrive? On controversy, conflict, do they not? Remember Yasser Arafat? You know why he was so popular? You know why he was so powerful? Conflict. As long as he created and had a conflict going, he was important. The world gave him money. He was followed by people who loved conflict. And so our news media, when they'll put a Democrat and a Republican on there, and they'll give you two sides, what's the object? A conflict. And all the fools sitting at home getting all worked up because of the conflict. Did you hear what he said? Why that, you know... Everybody, and you know what it does? Gives me ratings. The sad part about the whole thing is Jesus Christ doesn't get any ratings at all, does he? Not one bit. And then we have all the things going on in the world today that takes our focus off of Jesus Christ, if we let it. As a Christian, you need to focus on the cross and Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Doesn't mean you have to lay awake at night thinking about it, but you need to focus on it every day. My job, my life at home, my ailments, my physical problems, my mental problems. If I focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross, I will not let the world destroy me. Then we got the evolutionists that believe God didn't create it. You know what I think about the evolutionists? I don't worry about them. They can believe whatever they want to. They can do whatever they want to. I'm not going to debate with them. If they do not want to see the cross of Christ, that's their problem, not mine. Then you have the abortionist. I don't like abortion. It's murder. But you know what? I'm not going to debate with them because unless they look at the cross, I'm wasting my time. If the world does not focus on the cross of Christ and salvation by grace, you know what they'll focus on? The unholy spirit of Antichrist. They'll focus on socialism, totalitarianism, dictatorship, evolution. They'll focus on everything that Satan has to offer. They just will not focus on the cross. I learned a long time ago, if I can't get a person to focus on the cross and what Christ did, I don't waste my time with them. They'll deny it, they'll reject it, they'll get your focus on something else. I don't waste my time. You know what? Someday you got to meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. I'll tell you how to be saved one time. And if you reject it, it's your problem. Because I'm not going to waste my time. I talked to a man in my barn the other day, and I told him just exactly that. We were sitting in my barn. I like to sit in my barn. Nobody bothers me out there, usually. And I told him how to be saved, and I said, I want you to pay attention because I probably won't tell you again. I want you to get now, and I don't know why people listen to me when I do that, but they do. I don't know why, but it works. I said, I'm going to show you an illustration. Pay attention, because I may never do this again. So you need to get it now, because I might not even feel like doing it again. And so I told him how to be saved, and he said, I believe in that. My opinion is he's saved. I think he got it. But you know what? I told him once, I don't have to worry about it again. I told him. I did my part. But what the point is this. You know what he focused on? The cross. Christ died on the cross. Shed his blood on the cross. Put your focus on the cross. All these things that God tells us will come to pass. Daniel had a vision. Nebuchadnezzar had a vision. The Apostle John had a vision. You know what they did? They all wrote it down in the Bible here. And you know what? It all agrees, doesn't it? 100%. It will happen. It will come. We're not going to spend too much time. Well, we're out of time, actually. We'll have to get back on this next week. But you know, if God went to all the trouble to record this in the Bible, make it accurate, it doesn't contradict itself, it goes together 100%. If God went to all the trouble to do that, I ought to go to a little bit of trouble to read it, study it, and understand it, don't you think? I ought to go to enough trouble to look at things that are going on in the world and look at what the Holy Spirit has to do with it and what the unholy spirit of Antichrist directed by Satan has to do with it. I should have enough about me to go to a little bit of trouble to learn it. And that's my goal in this life. Well, let's take a moment here and have a word of prayer, if you will. And in closing, let me say this. If the rapture takes place today, are you going? I hope so. Do you know how you know? You believe Christ died on the cross for you?